The Peace Corps celebrates its 50th anniversary this year. The organization often advertises itself as the toughest job you'll ever love. But for thousands of young volunteers, sexual assault was not among the hardships they thought they'd have to endure. Yet, attacks on Peace Corps volunteers have increased to the point where last week, the House Committee on Foreign Affairs heard dramatic testimony from three former volunteers who were raped while on their Peace Corps missions. One of those women is Kerstin Konen. She's an adjunct professor at the Harvard School of Public Health now, but in 1991, she was a Peace Corps volunteer in Niger, where she was raped. But she told the House committee that the calloused response from the Peace Corps was almost as bad as the attack itself. Kerstin Konen shared her story with us.
My sister and I were traveling in the Sahara. We met some men in the marketplace who were friends of another volunteer. And one of them came by one morning to sell us jewelry, ostensibly. Another friend of his came by to take my sister to get some change to pay for the jewelry. And while she was gone, this man raped me.
So this happened in the house of another volunteer?
It happened in the house of another volunteer who was not there at the time. He was back in the capital for the holidays.
Okay. You were attacked by this person. And in the immediate aftermath, what happened? You said he left and said he was going to come back?
So after he raped me, he said he was going to get his friends and come back. Now, frankly, he was speaking in poor French, as was I. So that was what I understood him saying at the time.
So it seemed to you that the threat was he's going to bring friends back to gang rape you? Or
I think that's what I interpreted at the time. I was terrified. As soon as he left, I started getting our stuff together. I had no way of getting in touch with my sister and didn't know what was going on with her at the moment because she had left with this other guy. So as soon as she came back, I told her what happened. We got our stuff together. We were getting ready to leave. As we were getting to leave, he and his friends actually did come back and started banging on the door. She was screaming at them to go away. And luckily, some other people we knew came by shortly after that. And as soon as these other people came by, these guys left.
Okay, so the first Peace Corps official,
yes,
whom you spoke to after you were raped was the medical officer.
Right.
What was his reaction?
He was very supportive and sensitive. We had had a previous rape in my training group, quite a violent one. Some men had broken into our training compound. I saw his response to that. So I actually knew that I could count on him to respond positively.
Okay. But you didn't feel that same support when you were back in D.C.?
No. As soon as I got to D.C., things started going downhill. So, for example, the first thing I was doing was giving an appointment to go see a gynecologist for an exam, which makes sense, except for they sent me without sort of asking me, they sent me to a male gynecologist. That began a bad experience that just sort of went downhill from that first medical exam.
How far downhill did it go?
I was sent to see someone, a staff person, who I was told was investigating issues around safety of female volunteers and wanted to hear my story. I walked into her office, and before even talking to me about my experience, the first thing she said to me was, "Oh, you girls go to these countries and you're out drinking and dancing and flirting with men. And then when something happens, you say you're raped."
So she basically said it was your fault.
She basically said it was my fault.
As you described it, she said, "You girls."
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
she'd been investigating a number of cases.
Exactly.
Like this.
And at the time I was in D.C., there were several. My memory is that there were five other women in D.C. at the same time who'd been raped. There was a waiting area in the Peace Corps offices. At the time, there was a waiting area. And we just met in the waiting area and found out we were all there for the same reason.
So ultimately, what happened to your case? Were any charges pressed against the person in Niger, or did you go back?
I had made a statement, which was submitted to police in Niger. They picked up the person, because I could identify the person who I knew the person was. And following that, I talked to my Peace Corps country director, and what he told me was the perpetrator was saying it was consent, and that it was my word against his, and they believed him. And at that point, I decided to walk away from the Peace Corps and just move on with my life.
And that was 1991.
That was early 92 by then, but yes.
Now we're in 2011. And you've written about your experience in Niger, and you raised this fact that said there have been 1,000 at least rapes in the past decade. Right. And even the Peace Corps' own internal volunteer surveys show that half of rape victims don't report it to the Peace Corps, so the number's probably a lot higher.
Right. I thought my treatment by the Peace Corps was fairly unique, but now we have reports of women, even women currently serving, who are still receiving callous and insensitive treatment.
Kirsten, last week you and several other women testified before the House Foreign Relations Committee about this problem of sexual assault in the Peace Corps. Some of the other volunteers who were there testifying with you, one was actually impregnated, I believe, by her attacker in Nepal. The other was a mother of a volunteer who was murdered in Benin in 2009, so very recently. But the Peace Corps' current director, Aaron S. Williams, actually was also there as well, and he provided some testimony, and we've got a little clip of part of what he said, so let's listen.
Okay.
The brave women who have come forward have shown us that the Peace Corps has not always been sufficiently responsive, compassionate, or sensitive to victims of crime and their families.
So what's your reaction to that, and the fact that it seems that he is acknowledging that the Peace Corps has not done its job in supporting victims of sexual assault?
I'm really thankful to Director Williams for acknowledging that. It's meant a lot to us, and we actually met with him earlier in the week personally. But at the same time, that hasn't changed our view or my personal view that we still need congressional legislation to mandate future changes in the Peace Corps.
Well, Kirsten, I mean, I imagine that at least some members of the Peace Corps might say that the institution has done something at the very least.
Right.
I mean, you know, they have a written policy that's designed to sort of enhance support. And I know you've even noted that they have a commitment to create a victim's advocate position.
Mm-hmm. However, if the victim's advocate position is a case in point, one victim's advocate in D.C. in no way can handle 100 cases a year across 77 countries and at the same time care for volunteers who are back now and need ongoing services. So I think the victim's advocate is a great first step. We just want to see more.
You know, Kirsten, my mind keeps going back to what you said about that Peace Corps investigator in 1991 who told you, "You girls... Right. You know, you go out to these countries, you may drink, get yourself in dodgy situations, and get attacked." It's this the phrase, "you girls." Has that attitude changed?
I think that Director Williams is setting a good example by, it's clearly changed with him. It's changed at the top. From the emails we're getting from current volunteers, I think the attitude still exists, filtering down to people's individual experiences in countries.
Do you regret having been a Peace Corps volunteer?
No, I absolutely do not, which is something a lot of people find strange. But I had an incredibly positive experience in the Peace Corps, in my village, the women I worked side by side with. And those experiences haven't disappeared despite my assault. And one of the best parts of this past week in the hearings was being with the other women who'd served, and we actually spent a lot of time laughing and talking about our Peace Corps experiences separate from the rape. And so I feel like, in fact, coming forward has given me a greater appreciation for my Peace Corps service because I'm able to acknowledge the positive parts as well as the negative.
Well, Kirsten Conan, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you for having me.
There's a link to Kirsten Conan's writing on this subject at our website, radioboston.org.
Tomorrow on Radio Boston, as Boston struggles to balance its budget, it wants nonprofit institutions that don't pay property taxes to cough up more money for city services. Is that fair or just another tax by another name?
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from theangle@boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.